What is the future of my faith? What is the future of your faith? This past Thursday, Valentine's Day, I went out with a couple of the young adults of the parish down to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore to hand out meals to the homeless and just spend some time with the homeless. And amidst the many people that we encountered that night, there are two men that stand out to me in a very special way. First man, whose name was Pop. I didn't know, that's what he called himself. I don't know exactly what his real name was, but I saw him in the middle of this kind of deserted park, very dark. He was lying there on a makeshift sleeping bag with a blanket covering his belongings. And I went up to him, sat down next to him on the gravel, and we just had a long conversation, handed him a bag of food. After a while of just telling me how he had been on the street for 20 or 30 years, he started going on and on about wanting to have some political action take place. He said, write a letter to your senator, to your congressman. We need certain handouts on the street. We need different things. And I realized after maybe 5-10 minutes of this that he could have gone on and on about this for a long time. So I said, sir, how are you doing? Come back to you. What is your life like? So we had a long conversation just about his experience on the street, but he always wanted to bring it back to this political action. The second guy, Ray, I saw about an hour before seeing Pop. And Ray was on the corner of the Inner Harbor, one of the streets of the Inner Harbor. And after I talked with him a while, he said, you know, why are you out here today? Why are you and these young adults out here tonight, above all nights? And I said, we're out here because on Valentine's Day, we recognize that on this night of intimacy, relationship, that there are certain people who feel very alone and that they need to know that people love them, that God is there for them. And he nodded his head with a big smile on his face and he said, you know, so often we who are on the street get handouts, things from the government, change outside a window, you know, car window. But so very rarely do people actually treat us as people, as fellow human beings. So thank you. Thank you for just coming out to be with us, just to treat us as regular people. I think these two encounters can give us a nice frame to end our homily series and maybe provide some reflection as we leave this Mass into this rest of the year. My friends, given our homily series, our faith, our future, and the things that have happened the last couple months and last couple weeks, something I hear very often is the desire to write letters, to do some political action to take place in our church. Write a letter to the bishop. Write a letter to the Vatican. Make your voice heard about all the things that have been happening in our world. That is absolutely necessary and good. But one thing I often see after those letters have been written, after the political action has been tried, people are often left with a sense of despondency, emptiness. What am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do? What would our Lord say to that? What would Jesus tell us to do? Well, he gives us a commandment. My friends, I tell you, this commandment I leave with you. Love one another as I have loved you. So my friends, we can ask this on this end of this homily series. Does our faith have a future? Yes. Period. Reflecting on Deacon Justin and Father Jim's homilies last couple weeks, which a theme for them has been unworthiness. Are we unworthy as a church to have the Holy Spirit lift us up to allow us to survive? Yes, we are unworthy. We are all unworthy servants of the Master's great love, but he lifts us up anyway. So we know our faith has a future. But what about my faith, your faith, individually? Does ours have a future? The answer is yes, but we must encounter Jesus. We must love others as Jesus loves us. This is how we will have a transformation of life. Not just a conversion, but a complete transformation of one's being. This is what we need to do to have our faith have a future. Let's take a look at the gospel to see this last weekend of this homily series, what can stand in our way of having that transformative experience of Jesus. Father Jim, Deacon Justin have both spoke about the unworthiness of encountering the Lord. Jeremiah, Lord, I am too young, I cannot, do not know what to speak, do not send me. Peter, this great catch of fish, Lord, I am not worthy, I am a sinful man. This week in the gospel, we have a different obstacle to our faith, a different obstacle to the encounter with Jesus. Today we have the Gospel of Luke's account of the Beatitudes. We all know Matthew's account. Most of us can probably list them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Good on the list. Luke's different, if you noticed. We have the first part. Blessed are you, and there's an interesting word in there. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who mourn now, for you will be comforted. And the second half, woe to you who are full now, for you will one day be hungry. Woe to you who are liked now, who laugh now, who do not mourn your sins now, for one day you will mourn. What is the gospel getting at? Luke, I think, is placing before us a contrast between the satisfaction, the fact that Jesus Christ, God, is everything to us, that every heart yearns for God, but also the fact that in this world, we can buy into the lie that we can be satisfied by possessions, by human relationships, by anything but God. It's a great lie. The satisfaction found in Jesus and the dissatisfaction of this world. So what does that look like for us? My friends, let's look back at the characters we've encountered in our scriptures this last couple weeks. If our big obstacle is to realize that we can be satisfied by the things of the world, seek satisfaction in the things of this world, then we realize this, we need to put this aside if we are to encounter Jesus. Imagine if Jeremiah, who said to the Lord, I'm too young, I'm unworthy of being sent. Imagine if God said to him, before I called you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you to be a prophet to the nations. Instead of saying, I'm too young, Jeremiah said, ah, Lord, do not send me, for I am doing just fine. I'm doing well enough. I have a great life, great job, family, friends. Lord, I am doing just fine right now. Imagine St. Peter, who imagined this has this great catch of fish. And instead of his response of humility and unworthiness, Lord, I am not worthy. I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. What if he said, Lord, depart from me, for I really don't need you right now. Galilee, Severna Park is really fine. I'm doing just fine where I am. I check the box of my prayer. I do do good deeds every once in a while. Lord, I'm good. I'm good enough. I don't really need you. Don't send me. One of the great temptations in our life of Christ, our life with Christ, and to put it frankly, our journey in this life is to think that the things of this world will satisfy us, and they just don't. Woe to us who think we are full now, who are not hungry for more. At the core of our gospel is this deep truth that every human heart yearns for God, yearns for the complete fulfillment and joy and adventure of what God can give us. And we need to open up to that desire, allow that desire to be wrenched open, that we might see the abiding, the complete fulfillment and joy of being with Jesus. Friends, my friends, let's not be satisfied with what we have in this world, good as all those things are. Let us recognize that in Jesus is the fulfillment of every human desire. Every longing of your heart will be filled in Christ. So if we're sitting here thinking, Father, that's all great and wonderful, but how can I expand this desire? Let's go back to the command of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. How does Jesus love? He loves from the cross. He sacrifices. Or to put it in a very basic way, if we know we're loving, to really love like Jesus, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna be suffering and painful. But in that is a true sacrifice, a true laying out of oneself for God. And if we can risk for Him, and that's what I'm asking you to do today, risk for Jesus, suddenly we have opened that door of our hearts to Him and allow Him in a brand new way. So my friends, risk for God, risk for Jesus. Take a risk for somebody else. Serve somebody. Go out of your way and to such a point that it hurts you to serve somebody. In your prayer, take that extra 10 minutes that is uncomfortable and difficult. Sacrifice with your time with God. Proclaim Jesus even when sometimes it seems like the most awkward thing to do. My friends, if we can do that, if we can lay out our lives to risk for service of somebody else, service for Jesus, oh, the joy we will experience, the great adventure we will suddenly be on every single day. Now, I want to emphasize that to live the Christian life is creative, is an adventure. It's something we should be thinking of, new ways to serve God, to pray every day. But many of us, we need a structure to do that, to begin. And this weekend, I'd like to use Alpha, our program of Alpha, to have that structure. So let's use Alpha to ask, how can we risk for you, Lord? First and foremost, let's pray. Alpha is a program to bring people to asking questions, to perhaps bring them to Christ. And we recognize that no conversion, no one is ever brought to Christ without prayer. That's the reason we have 24 hours of Eucharistic adoration leading up to the start of Alpha. I ask you, please take an hour of prayer. And if that hour is risky for you, if it's new, what a risk to take for the Lord. What a risk to take for those who will be encountering Jesus this Alpha season. Pray for the people that are getting ready to encounter Him the whole time, the entire set of weeks. Pray for the team. Pray for those to be converted by Jesus. Second thing is, perhaps consider going yourself, taking a risk to go to Alpha. Perhaps our own spiritual life needs a boost, needs a spark. Just show up the first night. See what it's like. Risk for Jesus. Take a risk for Him. Next, perhaps take a risk in service. You know, we need help to pull off Alpha, especially if there a lot of people show up. We've had this happen, where a ton of people show up. We need help. If you feel called to serve, to risk in service, please talk to one of our people with the red shirts to be able to serve in Alpha this season. And lastly, and something we are very reluctant to do as Catholics, take a risk in inviting someone to Alpha. Perhaps someone you know who is distant from the Lord, whose heart is yearning and aching to receive joy and peace in their life. Why don't you tell them about Alpha? A place to come where you can ask questions, watch a movie, have a free dinner, free childcare, and encounter the Lord, perhaps. Perhaps just make some new friends. My friends, I'm asking all of us to risk for the Lord, and in this is incredible joy. There's a young lady I just talked with a couple days ago, a teenager, dealing with a lot of stuff in her life, and I talked to her about this exact message. And she sent an amazing text to me. I just got such a smile on my face when I read this. She said, Father, for the first time ever, I think, I am ready to become a warrior for God. Oh, that we would all have that kind of vision and courage. I want to be a warrior for God, someone who goes out to serve Him each and every day. If your faith and my faith is to have a future, risk for God, lay out your life for someone else, sacrifice till it hurts, and you will know the incredible joy in that action. And faith will not be an obligation anymore, but a privilege and an absolute joy. My friends, just to give you a little bit more information about Alpha, I'd like to invite Adam Farber forward, one of our parishioners here, who had an amazing experience in Alpha, just to have him give his hear his thoughts on Alpha. So, welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
So, as we all know, Alpha is, you know, kind of a, has three essential elements: dinner and free dinner with free childcare, watching a movie, and then small groups. Adam, what was your? How did you get involved in Alpha? What was life like before Alpha?
So, getting to Alpha, we'll start there. We had moved from around. We're in the military, so we'd come to Severna Park, bought our house. Chose St. John's Evangelist as our church to come to because it was the closest one to the house. And then we heard about Alpha. My wife, Rebecca, she says, you should go to Alpha. I was like, nope, good. She says, I really think you should go to Alpha. I'm like, no, I'm good. We go once every Sunday. I'm good, checking out blocks, getting all that stuff out. She's like, look, childcare, dinner, movie, talking. You like all those things. So it was the Monday of Alpha starting. She's called me up. I'm on my way home from work. And she's like, look, me, kids, we're going to Alpha. Do what you want to do. I'm done asking. Driving home, I have about a 20-minute commute. And something about what she, it was either the tone or the words that she said, it was, how am I going to face my children and look at them and set the example for them as their father if I would rather sit at home alone watching football or eating leftovers or whatever, instead of having a free, amazing meal prepared for me, them playing with their friends, me spending time with my wife, how is that an example for my son of how to be a husband and father, or my daughters of what to look for in a man that they want to marry if they're called to that? So I was like, all right, not turning on my left turn blinker, gonna keep going on Benfield, and I wind up at the church. On my way here, I was like, I'm not gonna like it. I know this. I'm not gonna like it. I'm never gonna like this. I do not agree with half the things that they're gonna say. I'm gonna nitpick and pick it apart. And I came and I had that attitude, and I was welcomed. And they pulled out a table for us. There were too many people for too many tables. It was an amazing time. I sat down and immediately had conversations, and I was welcomed, even knowing that I was gonna nitpick, and I told people that. I was like, I don't agree with this. And they're like, that's fine. Just come, eat the food, have the childcare, have a date night with your wife. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Yeah. So that's what got me to Alpha.
All right, so that's what got you to Alpha. And you had all these, you know, desire to nitpick and desire to kind of knock down some people's ivory towers, if you will. What was the experience like while you went through Alpha?
So my experience in Alpha was, I'll give anything 3 episodes. So I gave it 3 weeks. If I wasn't gonna like Alpha by the end of the 3rd week, I'm like, I'm never going again. I was hooked by week 2. The movies are amazing. It was a great conversation to just be able to talk openly with people about faith, differences in faith. I was raised Jewish, so going through, I was able to offer that perspective to those who were rediscovering their faith and having all of that about it. And then finally, the Holy Spirit worked on me long and hard, for some longer than others, but it was April 14th, I decided at the Alpha Retreat, which is an amazing experience. If no one's talked about the Alpha Retreat to you, please come talk to me, it's great. But I decided to enter the Catholic faith on April 14th of last year. So Alpha worked on me, the best part about it was that there was no judgment, there was no pressure to convert, there was none of that. I came to it on my own decision. So Alpha was just a great place to expand my knowledge and my faith that way.
Awesome, awesome. And after that experience on April 14th and everything, what's life been after Alpha's finished?
So after Alpha was finished, it was I noticed a lot about myself. I did a lot of self-reflection. I noticed that I was trying to fulfill a hunger in myself. I would buy the newest iPhone. I would always have to have the biggest, baddest, greatest television available. I needed that brand new car. I wouldn't settle for a 2-model-year older used car. So I was always trying to fill this need inside of me. But after Alpha and after discovering this faith-based living, I found that I could be satisfied with the Lord, and that was enough. And that serving God and being able to go out and do street evangelization or dedicating time to the church and growing the community was more than enough than what I needed than anything I could ever purchase. And probably the best thing that I got out of Alpha was knowing the people in the pews next to me. Being able to look to my left and my right and know if I needed something, I know that person by face, by name. I've invited people over to my house. I have new friends in this community, and having the church around me in a time of struggle or anything like that, I have people now that I can turn to. So Alpha, life after Alpha was expanding my community, and I know people in the church now, people that I never would have met just by daycare or by school or anything like that. It was an amazing experience to just grow in my church community.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Adam, and just... Alpha starts February 27th, so I'd love to see many of you there. And just, there's a sign-up sheet outside the oratory for the 24 hours of adoration. We could use some help with Alpha if you would like to serve in different capacities, making a meal, helping make a meal, serve at table, whatever. Or just show up yourself, invite somebody. Say, don't just, I'm sending you there, but come with me to come to Alpha. Join me in going. And just a quick little testimony for myself. I've done Alpha 3 times now, and Stacey Golden, who runs Alpha for us here, she had to command me, Father Mike, you can't do that this year, even though you want to. So I love Alpha so much, and I can't do it, unfortunately, but it's an amazing program. So I invite all of you, please come check it out. It's an amazing tool to bring ourselves and so many others to Christ. Thank you. Okay.